This morning we dealt with the subject, if I'm a Christian, then why do I struggle with doubt? We saw, first of all, that there are seven principles to consider when we're dealing with the subject of doubt. First of all, we need not be governed by doubt. The Lord is able, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. We're told to ask in faith, nothing wavering, and we can trust God's word. But nonetheless, we must, if we are going to minister to people in the body of Christ, we need to understand that not everyone may be as composed and mature and stable as you are. Isn't that wonderful? But the truth of the matter is, there are many in the body of Christ that may be suffering from obsessive compulsive behavior disorder. Some have had difficult experiences in their early life that cause them to have a real struggle with trust or with the subject of doubt or faith. And we need to minister to those in the body of Christ. And we need to understand. It also helps when we realize that doubt is often the birth pang that leads to the deepening of our faith. We took the time to look at the life of Abraham. Abraham had his times, along with Sarah, his wife, doubting about the timing of the promised child, Isaac. And yet, it's amazing to me, as we study the Old Testament, which microscopically gives us the life of Abraham, when we get to Hebrews 11, it just causes us to realize the immensity of God's grace and forgiveness, where Abraham, struggling as he did, bringing in circumstances into the world that we're still suffering in the Middle East for, he's placed in the Hebrews Hall of Faith. Oh, God's mercy towards those who are wavering. Then we looked at the life of Zechariah this morning, when he doubted regarding the birth of John the Baptist and was actually mute and was not able to speak until he finally made that acknowledgement, his name shall be called John. We looked at the life of Peter. Peter was a man who doubted and denied the Lord Jesus Christ. We can look at Thomas. Most of us remember, we have a tendency to call him Doubting Thomas. Please be careful about doing that. We talked before on several occasions about typecasting people. How would you like to be typecast for one incident in your life? And yet there were many times when Thomas rose to the occasion by faith and even gave great praise and testimony to the divinity of the Lord. And yet Thomas would not believe until he saw the Lord. And then he said, my Lord and my God. Thomas doubted. So you see, it's not just those that are the offscouring in the work of the Lord. Probably the most prominent that, and some of you may wonder, well, Pastor John, why did it take you so long to get to this guy? I'm thinking of John the Baptist. You're exactly right. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Here we have the case of John the Baptist. And incidentally, he had his doubts, didn't he? Oh, yes, when he was thrown in prison. In Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 2. Matthew 11, 2. When John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Here's John the Baptist, who came proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. With great authority, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And here he is thrown in prison, and he begins to doubt. Now, was he a reed shaking in the wind? Well, look at verse 8. Jesus said this, "What went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you," and notice what he says, in the midst of the doubts that he had expressed, and Jesus had given proof even unto John regarding his sign miracles that authenticated his messiahship. Among them born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And get this note of grace, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Oh, there'll be that eradication of the sin nature in the kingdom. But yet John the Baptist, God called him the greatest of those born of women. So as counselors, dear people, working with people that are weak in the faith, recent converts, we need to be patient. Sometimes we have to answer the same question over and over again. One of the qualifications of a pastor is patience. How many times did Jesus teach his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and be crucified and be buried and rise again the third day? And yet, what was their response on resurrection day? So certainly we understand that. But we need to realize that doubt is often the birth pang that leads to the deepening of our faith. And what I mean by that is this. Look at Romans chapter 5, if you will. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Doubt need not put us in reverse and cause us to lose ground. Romans 5 and verse 3 says, "We can glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Patience comes from the Greek word, which means the ability to bear up under. It was used of underwater swimmers who could go long distances without coming up for air. Tribulation produces endurance in our lives. It produces patience. And patience, notice the stair step in sanctification. Patience produces experience. In other words, when we go through a trial and see God's grace and deliverance, we look back and it becomes an experience that we can share together. Tomorrow, some of the ladies are going to be sharing some of their experiences and those that blessed them greatly in the Christian life, in their ladies' fellowship. And then experience, when you look back, produces hope, because the same God that delivered us in the past is able to deliver us in the future. And it gives us that confident expectation. That's what the hope means. It's not used as "I hope it doesn't rain outside," but it's a confident expectation that we have. And experience produces hope. And notice, hope maketh not ashamed. Literally, it doesn't disappoint us. It doesn't let us down. Why? Because the Lord, even through your doubts, through difficulties, he's purging you and he's creating the love of God to be shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And then, of course, you have the verse in James chapter 1 and verse 3 that we briefly looked at this morning. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." So therefore, thirdly, we need to realize that doubt is a birth pang that leads to the deepening of our faith. Number four, be ready to live with mystery. There are some things that are going on in your life that you may never, never understand until you're in the presence of the Lord. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, there's an excellent scripture that I'd like for you to turn to, if you will. And it speaks about the mysteries that oftentimes come into our lives that we do not understand. It says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed," very often the Lord will reveal to us why things happen. And most often they will be revealed. But dear people, there are some things that we will never, ever understand until we get to heaven. But listen, that does not matter. Even though we may not understand, we don't have to live doubting God's nature and His goodness. We may not understand circumstances, but we can understand God and take Him at His word. Sometimes we want all the answers. We want complete understanding before we commit ourselves unto the Lord. But that's not faith, is it? God reveals many things to us. But notice, it says this, "Those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So therefore, obedience is expected, even though we may not have all of the answers. Also, when we're dealing with doubt and difficulty, and we're dealing with individuals that don't understand and are wavering in the Christian life, number five, we need to realize that faith is taking God at His word in spite of our doubts. In spite of our doubts. And in the book of Hebrews, we're reminded about that. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the word of God says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is." Let's stop right there. You see, one of the keys towards the removal and the victory over doubt is to realize that God is who He says He is. He's in control. He's a good God. He's a holy God. He's a purposeful God. He is a God that has given us promises that all things work together for good to those that love God. And we must exercise by faith. Remember what faith is all about. Look at verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but yet at the same time, it's the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. And it's trusting God as the one that is in charge of our lives. So we need to take God at His word. We need to move forward in spite of our doubts. And by the way, if you ever arrive at a place where all of your doubts are gone and all of your questions are answered, take a deep breath because you've already arrived in heaven. We're here on this earth, and certainly we have difficulties. Many people think struggling with God means we lack faith, but that's not true. Struggling with God is a sure sign that we truly have faith. Because if we never struggle, our faith will never grow. Faith is taking God at His word in spite of our struggles. And remember the teachings of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave Himself for me." So therefore, when I doubt, I can say, "Lord, I'm going to take these doubts, and I'm going to give them to You, and I'm going to allow Your faith to flow through me," because that is the key to the Christian life. Now, when we go through doubts, number six, We need to seek out trusted counselors that are grounded in the Word of God to help us. Sad to say, too many students go to their state school professors because they have doubts and they think that, well, I'm going to be able to get some understanding in my education. And how sad it is when we see today what is actually being taught in our universities. You read the news and you turn the TV on, and all you have to do, dear people, is look at the demographics of the elections in the areas where there are major state institutions, and you can see that they are hotbeds and centers of socialism and secular humanism. And it was demonstrated in that fact. You know, UCLA always used to pride themselves in intellectual honesty and openness. Even in the Vietnam years, you could just about believe anything you wanted and get up there and preach it. And yet, what have we seen recently? We have seen censorship. We have seen hatred, bigotry towards any view except the view of atheistic secular humanism. And we're seeing that repressive darkness all around us today. But we need to go to the right places. Let me give you a few scriptures from the book of Proverbs, okay? And these are all in Proverbs so that you can find them very quickly. Look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14. If you're going through doubts and difficulties, be very, very careful about going to the wrong people. Proverbs chapter 1 talks about the wrong people. Those that devise wicked imaginations and their feet are quick to shed innocent blood. But Proverbs 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, one of the great joys that I have is when I hear intermittently over the passage of time news from your families and your kids that are getting involved in church, and they're involved in outreach, and they're giving people the right kind of counsel, and they're standing for the truth of God's word. Well, we need to be those involved and be those counselors that give wise counsel. Look at chapter 12 and verse 15. It says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." And oftentimes, individuals will go to people that will agree with them because they want to reinforce their bent towards sin and misbehavior. But yet, a righteous counselor hearkens unto the word of God, and it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto counsel," that's godly, wise counsel, "is wise." Look at chapter 19 and verse 20. This is just the last one that I'll give to you on this matter of counsel. But look at chapter 19, verse 20. "Hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." Oh, how young people need to take these scriptures. You're concerned about God's will for your life? Do you want to eventually be a mother or a father and have children that are following in the ways of the Lord? You're looking for the right latter end in your life. It doesn't start at the last minute. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And young person, young married couple, whatever age group you may find yourself in, are you heeding wise counsel, or do you resent it? Or do you throw it to the ground and stop your ears and say, "We will not hear wise counsel"? Oh, how we need to be careful. Number 7, doubt in and of itself, doubt is not a sin. If it drives us to the right sources for help, doubt is not a sin. But we need to go to the right place. If you're hungry, you need to go to the right source to nourish your body, not eat the junk food of the world. If you're hungry and you haven't had a meal for 3 days, a bottle of Pepsi and potato chips is just not the right thing to eat, is it? We need to go to the right source, and that is the Word of God. Doubt is not a sin as long as it drives us deeper into the Word of God to find the answers that we need. And I'm sure with some of the testimonies that some of you might want to share tonight, I'm sure that the Word of God will feature very prominently, and that you found help, you found encouragement from someone who was grounded in the Word of God. And praise God, you went to the right sources. And many of you are the right sources. And I'm thankful that there are many of you, most of you here, that if I run across someone that has a difficulty, I can call on you and know that you'll give them the right answers and biblical answers and spirit-led answers. But we need to go to the proper sources for help. Many people have the idea that doubt is unforgivable, but it isn't. God doesn't condemn us when we question Him. Job and David repeatedly questioned God, didn't they? But they were not condemned, because God is big enough to handle all of our doubts and all of our questions. But we just need to avail ourselves to the sources and the provisions that He gives to us. So let me give you some conclusions now, some keys to overcoming doubt. And by the way, as I talk about keys to overcoming doubt, one of my sons locked himself out of his house after church, and his wife didn't have the keys, he didn't have the keys, the garage door opener was in the house. So keys are important. Always make sure you stash a key, not under the mat though. Okay, but look at some keys here towards overcoming doubt. Number one, admit that you have doubts. Be specific and understand what they are. And then ask the Lord for help. Number two, remember, our faith is not based on how we feel, but it's based upon what we know and who we know. You can add that to that as well. What we know and who we know. Number three, fill our thoughts with the truths of God's Word. Sad to say, so many today and are just neglecting God's Word. And there are many, many good churches that have the Bible as the centerpiece of their services. But I'm here to tell you too, there are many, many churches that are squeezing God's Word out. And the entertainment is paramount. And there's hardly any time for good, solid preaching. Remember, sermonettes make for Christianettes. Keep that in mind. The Word of God should be the centerpiece. That's why we have Central Florida Bible Church right in the middle of our title. We need to fill our thoughts with the truths of God's Word. Number four, as you have doubts, take the time to study biblical evidences that prove that what you believe is true. It's important for us to become students of God's Word. Anyone of our elders in this congregation are able to guide you in the Scriptures and also to good books written by Spirit-filled men that will help you to understand and help you with your doubts, whether it be in the Christian life or in parenting or in apologetics or whatever the case might be. There is help for you. You need not go to godless associations. And please do not believe everything you read on the internet. How important it is. Number five, you know what? Overcoming doubt is not just a one-time memory. It's a habit that we need to build in our lives. Now, I have a couple of poems that I want to share with you. One of them is called How Often, and it reads as follows. How often we trust each other and only doubt our Lord. We take the word of mortals and yet distrust His word. But oh, what light and glory would shine over our days if we always would remember God means just what He says. We need to take God's word for what He says, not the words of men. Let me share this before we have our testimony time. Another poem from the Gospel Banner called Faith and Doubt. Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I. What a challenge to us today to trust in the Lord and to commit our doubts to Him. Now, how many here have been saved for 10 years and under? Let me see your hand. 10 years and under, okay? How many 20 years you've been saved and up, okay? A good number. 30 years. 40 years. My hand is up too. I can't believe it. I'm not that old. 50 years. Boy, I'm speaking to a a mature group. 60 years? Really? 70 years? Some of you, I didn't know you were that old. Now, I'm not going to say 80, am I? Was the gospel around that long? No. Of course it was. From eternity past, amen. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Some of you were saved when the earth was yet cooling, the crust. Okay, well, in all of these years that you've known the Lord, how many here would say, in my Christian experience, there were times that I had and wrestled with doubt? Let me see your hands. Okay. Sounds like we, Brother Dell, got a lot of people that can share. Now, I'm going to ask you, out of the many illustrations, to whittle it down to just one. And of course, not everyone needs to participate, but we're going to give you a little bit of time. You know why I'm doing this? Because this is a very, very effective way of multiplying life experiences. Because you take in a composite form all of the years of Christian experience that are in this room right now. We can all benefit from that with having to not have to be that old. Okay? So therefore, who's going to be first? There were some times that you struggled. You doubted God's ability to provide or do whatever. Let's see who'll be first. Brother Dell, you stand with that mic and get ready to roll around the room here. Okay, who'll be first? Francis? Okay, don't say a word until Dell gets to you.
Well, I just would like to say that I just thank the Lord that, yes, of course, I had doubts. One of them was before, many years before I met Charles. I wondered if I would ever have a husband that really not only loved me, but loved the Lord and wanted to serve the Lord. And there's people in this room that have prayed that prayer from way back. So I thank you all, the ones that have prayed for many years. And the Lord did send me that. And I'm very thankful. But I'm so thankful for the Word of God. And I just am so grateful. I was just telling Charles this afternoon, there's so many churches, and we just recently had some people tell us that they went to a Baptist church and the message was just so, anyway, they didn't feel that they had even been to church because it was not the conventional one, but they have one that's more, contemporary. And so anyway, I thank the Lord for good Bible churches that I've been in basically all my life that have caused me to see, even when things were really very difficult sometimes in my life, that I had the Word of God to strengthen me, to give me His promises. And even now, the verses that, from the song, the messages we've had today in the Sunday school and everything, been such a blessing. But I just wanted to read this portion because I do have children and grandchildren, some of my stepchildren, that I'm very burdened about. But at times you have doubts. You say, when is this going to be taken care of? But this one says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And then later, and of course Lois and others in here know years back when we were both struggling with one of her children and mine, and she had given me verses that in Jeremiah that they will come back. And so we pray for each one. And then there's verse 6 says, it says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth." So anyway, I just thank God for His word, and I thank you for your messages, and Ken for the music, and Les for the Sunday school lesson. It just ministered to my heart today. Thank you.
Amen. Anyone else want to share? Susie.
When we first moved to Tennessee, we had a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, or 2-year-old, and a baby. And we were ministering in a church there in Tennessee, in the hills, mountains of Tennessee. But that was a time when I was very ill. And I kept getting iller and iller. I know that's not a word. I just needed to know that God was God. And I was reading in Deuteronomy, and this is the verse I read. "Know therefore this day," and this is probably after I'd been to the hospital. I was having horrible headaches. It was just awful. "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath. There is none else." And I just stopped right there. He is God. And no, I didn't get healed right away, but I'm here today, and He is still God. And in all of the circumstances that He brings us to, this is a verse that I still remember from years ago. He is God, and I can trust Him.
Amen. Amen. Have you ever been approached by the old devil, enticing you to doubt God's purposes and God's goodness and God's ability to carry you through, maybe even before a surgery that you knew was very serious? And the old devil came, and he knows when to come when you're down and when you're weak, doesn't he? And yet the Lord encouraged you and gave you perhaps some scripture. Whatever you'd like to share, who'll be next?
Well, I'll share. Over the years, in recent years, I would say the last 30 years or so, I've gone through quite a few challenges with a first marriage that broke up. It broke my heart. Didn't want that. Then kind of being out there in the desert, so to speak, with 3 little kiddos, asking the Lord, if you have somebody for me to help me raise these children for you and to be my faithful wife going forward, I certainly would appreciate it. But if you don't, I'll just keep on keeping on and be celibate the rest of my life and just serve you to the best of my ability, sinner though I be. So as I was on one side of town and Frances was on the other side of town, I was in Altamont and she was in Maitland, really just waiting on the Lord, then the situation changed over time, a relatively short period of time, where He brought her into my life. And I can remember many times walking and listening to a CD, Christian music, for exercise and so forth, and just walking and listening and memorizing the songs that were being sung and how they ministered to me. The voice of the Lord would come to me in His Word, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just be still and know that I am God," as has already been shared. So then that came through, and then we were blessed to Francis to be my bride and to minister and to mother in an appropriate manner, three kiddos who were 4, 6, and 8 at the time. And that was a time that I really had some, I think, some real Christian growth. In the early years, we were at another church that all of us know about, and things really were helping me in terms of my growth. And then some things happened, and we were called to leave. And there were times that there were others that didn't really understand what were going on with us and so forth. And then as we came and the Lord led us to you, and after we had started our fellowship in our home with some of these very people that are here, and then came over here to the building next door and so forth. So I see more and more that it's a progression of time and the revelation of His Word as we allow it, as I've allowed it, to minister and to really speak to me. And it's not just words, it's alive. And to see the what can transpire with us when we're open, and then being willing to risk, so to speak, to be involved in the lives of other people. And so the doubts that have come up periodically in the lives of other people, to help them through that. And there are a lot of doubts in my kiddos' lives right now. All of them are out there. And so our prayer is, Lord, bring them back and bring others into their lives, just as you brought people in my life alongside of me in a timely manner. Isaiah 40, verse 8, grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So that bedrock is what we can claim, and that's what I have to go back to. And I'm so thankful for a faithful wife that loves the word and loves the Lord more than me, and has been patient with me over time to help me through and to learn and understand things.
Two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Threefold because the Lord is involved, that's for sure. Okay, great testimony. If you'll make your way over here, Del, towards Nancy.
I think in the times of doubt, the whole book of Philippians 4 is a marvelous verses and just the Lord talking to you. I remember about 3 years ago, Jim almost died. He was very, very sick. And most of you went through this with me. And he went into the nursing home, and he was very, very sick. And it was a very hard time for us. And at the same time, his green car, his Lincoln, was stolen from the driveway. And we all commiserated with him and said how sorry we are that he lost his car. It's amazing how God is. He is so faithful. And the scripture that I think of is, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And in Philippians, we get this call during this time when he was struggling so much, and we were going through such a hard time, from a policeman who says, "We found your car." It was a month, and they found the car in a parking lot. It was just the most amazing thing, and I thought, "God, you're amazing. This thing is amazing, and everything is going to be all right now." And it was. I think that was probably one of the highlights of my doubting, and how God just kind of, with a car, just answered it as simple as that.
Jim, whoever stole that Lincoln got the best ride he ever had. Amen. They don't make them like that anymore. Okay, Brother Dick, all the way in the back.
In my experience, and you, the pastor, would understand this also, most difficult people to reach oftentimes are those who grew up in a liturgical church as opposed to those who had no spiritual exposure whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in what was then called the Evangelical Lutheran Church. It was anything but evangelical. It eventually merged into the American Lutheran Church, which was very liberal. Every Sunday morning, things they said, there was nothing wrong with the things they said. That's what would confuse you, is coming to understanding of what you really need to do to know Christ as a personal Savior. I mean, the preacher would come down the aisle at the start of the service every Sunday morning reciting, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth me, though he is dead, yet shall he live." And then every Sunday I remember singing, "Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen, amen." And you're exposed to all this stuff for an hour every Sunday morning. And then somebody all of a sudden, when you're 18 years old, comes along and says, "But you got to accept Christ as your Savior." "Well, what are you talking about? I've been going to church all my life. I've been reciting all this stuff. I've been listening to all this stuff. And now you tell me I got to do something else?" It's very difficult. And that has lots of doubts in my mind. But the Holy Spirit was gracious, and he got me past those barriers till I came to understand what I needed to do to truly be a born-again Christian, to take Christ as my personal Savior. And that just reciting a bunch of platitudes every Sunday morning wasn't going to do it. My biggest challenge through the years has always been to try and reach other people who went through that same thing. And you went through that, so you know too.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else you'd like to share a time of struggle? An arid time perhaps in your life where the old devil was trying to kick you while you were down. Okay, if not, then Del, we're going to let you have a little bit of a rest here. We thank the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Ken to come and lead us in our closing hymn, "Blessed Redeemer." We thank the Lord that he is our Savior, and he is the one that has not only saved us, but has justified us and glorified us in the person of his Son. Let's stand together, shall we?